Hill Church family. We want to say welcome to you. We're glad that you're here to join us in our celebration of worship. It's a cool, rainy fall October day today, but it's also, if you've looked around you, it's a day with the trees painted with the beautiful colors of the fall leaves, and it's a beautiful time, and we certainly pray that you'll be able to enjoy that some through the next couple weeks. Actually, Thanksgiving is in 6 weeks, and Christmas is 10 weeks away. It's kind of hard to believe that, especially when it seems like things have been a blur with the pandemic going on and kind of getting out of sync with what time are these days. But I just pray that God will be with you in a special way as we continue in our time through this. It appears as if it's going to be some time before we actually are on the other side to where we'll feel some more comfort and safety in what's going on. But we continue to forge ahead, ask God to be with us and to lead us in the best that we can to be safe, and that we will get on the other side of this. And hopefully soon. Well, one of the things I've learned in my years of ministry is that nobody gets through life without having some problems. We all have problems. We all have hurts. And another thing I've learned in life is that one of the deepest causes of those hurts is rejection. We all face it in different times of life. Rejection from parents, rejection from partners, rejection from peers and coworkers or friends. We are in the third week of a new series of messages that I'm calling All Have Sinned, But There's Grace. The first week we looked at God's saving grace. Last week we heard a message about God's sustaining grace. Now today I want us to look at God's healing grace and how He heals the hidden wounds of our life. The Bible says in Psalm 147:3, the scripture we read this morning, God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Could you say this morning that you could use that, some healing for your heart, brokenness for your hurting? Maybe you're here with a broken heart today. Maybe you're here because you're hurting. Maybe you need to be healed. How will you let God do that? How does God heal broken hearts and wounds? The Bible tells us God does this by changing the way we think, by changing our minds, by changing how we see God and how we see our wounds, and particularly how we see ourselves. The Bible says in Romans 12, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So if you want to change your life, if you want to get well, get over your hurt, the Bible says you've got to change the way you think. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you see yourself as a loser, you're going to tend to be a loser in life. If you don't see yourself as a creative person, you won't create much in life. If you see yourself as a failure, you're going to tend to reinforce what you feel about yourself, and you're probably going to fail. It's very simple. Is that the Bible says, our beliefs determine our behavior. The way we think determine the way we act, and that is a big problem. You see, the problem is some of your beliefs are false, erroneous, mistaken. You picked up those kinds of way of thinking and believing as you were growing up. You believed it even though they were not true. Today I want us to look at the truth, what God says He thinks about you. Have you ever looked at yourself in a warp mirror? You ever been in one of those places where they've got these mirrors that are all twisted and out of shape? Well, when you look at a bent mirror, it gives you a distorted picture of yourself. Shorter parts of you would be exaggerated as fat, and taller parts would be exaggerated as skinny. And if you look at a distorted mirror, you get a distorted image of yourself. Well, growing up, the adults around your life often acted like mirrors. Some were good mirrors, but a lot of them were distorted mirrors. You tended to accept whatever adults said was the truth. If they said things like, "You're never going to amount to anything," you filed that away and tended to believe it. Or if they said, "You're not good, you're dumb, you can't do anything right," you probably filed all that data in your mind. And some of us today are still acting on those wrong images, on that incorrect data, on things that are not true about us, but we live as if that is true. And I want us to look at how God changes our mind and helps us not only see Him in a new light, but see ourselves in a new light. I want us to look at God's view of you in truth. God always tells you the truth. And today I want us to look at five things that God says about you that are true because of His healing grace. This could be a life-changing day for you today if you let it. Just like the story I was telling Armin for the children's story, there was this man, he had been sick for 38 years. But Jesus comes along and says, "Do you want me to do something?" And the man said, "Yes, but I've got nobody to help me." Jesus said, "I can help you." And so that's what I want us to see today. Today could be a life-changing day if we would realize Jesus is saying to you, He wants to help you. He wants to heal you. He wants to make your brokenness well again. You could be healed and freed from some of the scars and hidden wounds in your life if you would let God's healing grace be applied to you. So what truth does the Bible say about you and about me today? The Bible says this, first of all. The Bible says, "I am acceptable." That's pretty important to start off with because most of us spend most of our entire lives trying to be accepted by others. We want to be accepted by our parents, to be accepted by our coworkers and peers, to be accepted by people we envy and look up to. We want to be accepted even by total strangers. And most of us do not realize that the drive to be accepted is behind many of the things you do in life and the way you feel about yourself and the way you look at yourself. Your desire to be accepted influences the way you dress. It influences the kind of car you drive, the kind of house you live in. The desire to be accepted influences the career you choose and many, many other things. People will do the craziest things in order to be accepted by other people. People do all of these crazy things just to feel accepted by somebody. Some of you have got it in your mind. If I could just be perfect, then everybody would love me. Then everybody would accept me. And I'm sorry to tell you this, but that won't work either. Even if you were perfect, people are going to reject you. The Bible says Jesus was perfect, and yet he was despised and rejected of men. He was rejected by his own people. The problem was not his perfection. The problem was with people's hearts. Jesus tells us that this issue is settled when we accept his healing grace. This problem of needing to be accepted is taken care of. In Romans 15:7, it says, Christ has accepted you. Notice there is no condition put on that. It doesn't say, Christ will accept you if you go to church every week. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, Christ will accept you if you promise to be perfect and do nothing but good. If you keep his commandments. It doesn't say that. No, it's unconditional because it's not based upon your performance. It's based upon God's healing grace. You know, I would assume that most of you here today have accepted Jesus Christ at some point in your life, accepted him into your heart and life. But you are not sure about what God thinks of you. Do you realize that God has accepted you just as you are, as his child, the one he loves, the one he sets up on a pedestal, the one that he praises, the one that he rejoices in? God has accepted you just as you are without any condition because of his healing grace. The Bible says, you were not chosen because you deserve it, but because of his grace toward you. Now, the second thing the Bible says about healing broken hearts is it says that God says, I am valuable. I'm worth something. You are worth something. How much do you think you are worth? And I'm not talking about your net worth. I'm talking about your self-worth. Net worth and self-worth have no relationship when it comes to the way God sees you. The Bible says that if a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses, God does not look at what you have. God looks at your heart and your soul and your mind. Bible says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. I'm talking about how much you are valuable as a person to God. You might say, I don't know. I don't know what my value is. How do you judge the value of a person? Well, how do you value the or judge the value of anything? There are two things that determine value in life. One, who owns it? And two, what is somebody willing to pay for it? Those two things create value. In 1 John 4:4, it says, you belong to God. Imagine your value when you come to Christ and say, Jesus Christ, I accept you and your gift of salvation. I accept your gift of grace. And you step across that line and you become part of God's family. And God puts you in his family. He adopts you. He receives you. He saves you. All of a sudden, you now belong to God. Everyone is created by God, but not everyone belongs to God. Huge difference there. It's one thing to say everybody's created by God. It's something totally different to say, but only those who have accepted Christ belong to God. Only those who say, God, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I put my life and faith in Jesus Christ. And if you've done that, you belong to God. Bible promises that. It says it's a done deal. But it also says you're valuable. That means you're priceless. The other thing that determines value is what somebody's willing to pay for it and how much was paid for you. In 1 Corinthians 7, it says you have been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. In other words, when he gave his life, he paid for your sins. He gave himself for you. So you belong to him because of the price he paid. The greatest ransom ever paid was when Jesus Christ paid for your sins, and you were bought with a price, and God exchanged his own son to die for you so that you might live. That's how valuable you are. If you want to know your value, look at the cross. Jesus, with outstretched hands, says, this is how valuable you are. This much. This is how much you matter to God. That he opened himself up completely and Christ put his life on the cross for you. This is how much I care about you. You matter because of God's healing grace and his outstretched hands on the cross. The third thing the Bible says about healing broken hearts is that the Bible tells us because of God's healing grace, I am lovable. When you've been rejected, you don't feel too lovable. When somebody puts you down, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a husband, a wife, a parent, or whomever, you don't feel lovable, you feel awful. And if you say, I'm not worth anything, I'm not loved by anybody, you're wrong. The Bible says the mountains and the hills may crumble, your world may be crushed, the world may disappear, but my love for you will never end. So says the Lord who loves you. His love will never end. Never. God says to you, I love you, period. Not based on your performance. It's not based on you measuring up. It's not based upon how good you are or think you are. God says to you, I love you, period. No condition. You don't even have to ask. I wonder if God's going to, you know, you don't have to ask this kind of question. I wonder if God's going to love me tomorrow. Or I wonder if God's going to love me even today. I wonder if God's going to love me next week. Did I pray enough? Was I good enough? Did I do the right things? But his love is not conditioned upon your performance. Of course he wants you to do the right thing. Of course he will discipline you. But that does not mean he does not love you and will not correct you and will not be with you. That's healing grace. And we always get into trouble when we doubt that God loves us. God says, when you're in Christ, you are acceptable. You are valuable. And you are lovable. Even when you don't feel very lovely, he still loves you. Now, the fourth thing that the Bible says about healing broken hearts is the Bible says, because of his grace, I am forgivable. We need that one a lot. We blow it. We make mistakes, yet God says you are forgivable. The Bible says in Isaiah 43, 25, it says, I am the God who forgives your sins, and I do this because you deserve it. No, doesn't say that. Not because you deserve it. It says, because I do this because of who I am, God says. It's not based on you deserving it. It's based on God's healing and His forgiving grace. He says, I will not hold your sins against you. I will forgive you. God doesn't carry grudges. We do, against other people, other things, our circumstances, so many things. But God does not carry grudges. If you've received the grace of Jesus Christ, if you've made Christ number one in your life, He says, I'm not going to hold your sins against you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God says, when you come to Christ, you're forgiven. That's a done deal. That's the love of God. That's the grace of God. That's the healing of God. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, through what Christ would do for us, God decided to make us holy in His eyes without a single fault. We stand before Him covered with His love. Now, if you don't accept the grace of God, you're not covered with His love. But when you say, Jesus Christ, I accept what you did for me on the cross, and I want you to be number one in my life, you are covered with His love and forgiveness and grace. Before you were ever born, God knew every stupid thing that we were going to do. And He still made you, and He still loves you, and He still cares about you, and He knew it was going to happen. He's a gracious God. The good news is when I receive Christ into my life, all my sins are wiped out. Not because I deserve it, but because of the love of God. God says, you're not only acceptable and valuable and lovable, but you're forgivable. And here's the fifth thing, and the last thing I want to share with you today from this message. The Bible says about healing broken hearts is that God says, with Christ in my life, I am capable. You know, other people may say this to you, you'll never amount to anything. But the Bible says, with Christ, I am capable of everything. And that's the truth. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. That is, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency, Paul said. Anytime anything besides God is number one in your life, you're going to be vulnerable to a broken heart. For genuine security in life, you have to have something that's number one in your life that can't be taken away from you. If you base your security on how much money you've got, that can be taken away. If you base your security on your status and your image, that can be taken away. If you base your security in life on how good looking you are, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to lose your good looks. If you base your security on your husband or your children or anybody else in life except Jesus Christ, you can lose all those things. You must have your security in something that can never be taken away from you. And there's only one thing that fits that possibility. A relationship to your Creator God, to His Son, Jesus Christ. That can never be taken away from you. And there is nothing that you can do that would break that ability for God to forgive you and to accept you. Then if you lose everything else, including your health, you still have your security in God and eternal life. Some of you have had a major hurt in your life. You have experienced a broken heart. You carry scars with you today. You have hidden wounds in your deepest being, the pain of rejection in your life. And I'm sorry for that hurt. I'm sorry for your pain that you experience even now. And God hurts with you. But you can be healed of a broken heart if you will open your life to the healing grace of God and the power of Jesus Christ and accept what He says about you and begin a new relationship with that understanding in your mind about Him. And then take the Word of God and fill your mind with His love and His promises every day. To a large degree, the way you see yourself and the way you feel about yourself is determined by what you think the most important person in your life thinks about you. If that's true, I want to beg you this morning to make Jesus Christ the most important person in your life. And you have a choice. You can believe what other people say about you. You can believe what you think about you. But most importantly, those things are probably not true. They're imperfect. They're distorted. Or you can hold your life up to the light of God's Word and His truth and believe what He says about you and receive His healing grace. And I certainly pray that you will do that this morning. Would you pray with me? Thank you, loving God, that you can heal broken hearts and heal bitter memories and damaged lives. Thank you that patterns can be erased and reversed. Thank you, dear Jesus, that you can turn nobodies into somebodies. Jesus, today I ask you to touch broken hearts this morning and hurting minds with your healing touch of love. Reach down and pour your Spirit upon them right now. And for those who are lost, save them today. And help them to see themselves through your eyes of grace, just to say, I accept you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for me. Dear God, I thank you that you have accepted me totally by your grace. I receive you into my life. I want to know your purpose for my life, and I want to be filled by you. I want to have a relationship with you, the right kind of relationship. I want to trust in you. I want to love you. Help me to see myself not on the old tapes of the past, but the way you see me. Thank you that in your eyes I am forgivable and I need your forgiveness, Lord. I know that. Thank you that I am covered with your love because of what you did on the cross for me. Thank you that to you I am acceptable and I am valuable enough that you would die for me. And I'm lovable and I'm capable with your power to handle whatever comes my way in the future. As much as I know how, Lord Jesus, I invite you to control every area of my life. I'm not going to worry about what other people think, but I'm going to focus on your truth about me, about your love and acceptance and forgiveness. And it is in your name I pray. Amen.